means to serve our communities. And we do that by asking the question, what does it mean as disciples of Christ to join others on their journey? We're going to explore that in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is God's word. Join me in prayer. Father, open our hearts and minds this morning to hear your word, to ask the question of how it applies to our lives, and to learn something new about who you are and how you are working in this world. We thank you so much for the grace that you give us in Christ. We rest in the power of the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and minds to all you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if there's one thing that I hope that you have learned as we have sort of made our way through this path of discipleship this past fall, one thing that I hope you are able to take away from this pathway is that God is interested in people. If there's nothing else that you took away, I hope it is that. And if you didn't get that from the series, from our path of discipleship that we've moved through this fall, then I just want to remind you that you need only go further, no further than the second great commandment that Jesus gives us. Remember, the first one is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. If we are going to claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ, people who are walking on this pathway that follows him, growing in our relationship with him, then we need to be interested in the things that God, that Jesus, is interested in. And namely, that is people. God is interested in people. And the Apostle Paul kind of paints this picture of this a bit here in Colossians chapter 3, where Paul talks about how God, through Jesus, has invested in us so much as disciples of Jesus, as followers of him, as his people. He paints this beautiful picture of how much God has invested in us. And he does that at the beginning of chapter 3, in verse 3 and 4, by painting this picture of how we as followers of Christ have died to our old self. And since that old self is dead, now we are united so much with Jesus Christ to the point where Jesus is now living in us and living through us in this world. This is what the Apostle Paul calls the new self that we are called to put on. He paints that picture in verse 10. And we are to clothe ourselves in this new self that Paul talks about, this union that we have with Christ as we grow in our relationship with him and as we grow in our relationships with each other as well as Christ's body. So that kind of sets the stage of where the Apostle Paul is going this morning. And we, as we pick up our text rather this morning here in verse 12. And verse 12 is so important because it really sets the foundation for everything that we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 opens by saying this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people," God's chosen people. See, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we have been chosen. We have been showered with God's irresistible grace. Grace that just permeates the very inner cores of our being. And that's not the only adjective he uses to describe us in the beginning of verse 12. The next section or next piece he says that we are not just God's chosen people, we are holy and dearly loved people. And we have to understand how these ideas, this picture of who we are in Christ as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved people, we have to understand how this works to undergird the foundation of everything that we are called to do as disciples of Jesus. We've been showered with God's grace. Remember what grace is. Grace is an undeserved favor from God, right? There's nothing that we can do to earn it or deserve it in God's eyes. It is just a sheer gift. And through that grace, we've been chosen by God to receive this. When we should have been chosen to receive justice. There's one thing that we can demand from God, it's that. It's justice. But we shouldn't want that, because justice in God's sight for us, apart from grace, comes out in eternal separation from His presence. Because we've offended God as holy and just by our sin, by our unrighteous acts. But God knew that there was this vast gulf, that there is no way that we could overcome this. And so in the greatest gift, the greatest act, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our punishment so that we can be received as God's holy and loved children, as His people for His glory. Now, I set that as our foundation because it's so important for us to remember that as the foundation, as I've said several times now, as followers of Jesus Christ. We need to live into this gospel-centered identity that we have in Christ each and every day. We need to remind ourselves of it all the time. When we do that, this is us reminding ourselves of the beautiful characteristics of Christ, of how He worked in our lives. And when we do that, we clothe ourselves with these five characteristics that the Apostle Paul points to, which of course are characteristics that Paul, or that Jesus rather, exemplified for us first and foremost. And we see these characteristics at the latter half of verse 12. First one, he says, is compassion. Clothe yourselves in compassion. Literally, this is kind of interesting. This is compassion in your very bowels. Now, that sounds kind of odd to us today, but we have to sort of think of what that means. Compassion in our bowels to the Middle Easterner at this time would have meant this idea of compassion being at the very center of who we are as individuals, as followers of Jesus. We are called to be compassionate people we might say, a compassionate heart. And actually some translations add that, because in our day we think of the heart a little bit more of the center of our being. Maybe more centered on our emotions, but we have to think broader than that. Compassion is to be a central aspect of who we are in Christ. The other four are kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Five characteristics that all have something in common. I don't know if you noticed that or thought of this or not, but all five of these characteristics have one thing in common. All of them are attitudes, necessary attitudes rather, that we need to express when we're in relationship with one another. In other words, these are attitudes that we should use when we interact with each other as the body of Christ, but also with our neighbors in this world. Well, how do I know that? Other than looking at these characteristics and sort of thinking about how they relate to each other, the very next verse, what does Paul call us to do? In verse 13, he opens by saying, bear with one another. He says, forgive each other. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. Verse 13 are actions that only take place in the context of relationship. Here's the thing this morning, and I'm not gonna, this is not some mass nugget of wisdom that I'm about to give you or anything of that sort. I assure you it's something you're already aware of, but it bears repeating. As you go about your life, there is no doubt that people you encounter, people you interact with, are not at the same point as you might be in your journey of faith. Right? People are at the beginning, people are at the middle, people are often at the end of it. Right? And as we engage with them, as we serve them, we have to consider that. We have to walk with them in the midst of that. Now, we know this to be the case because this is how things work in everyday life, right? People are not always in the same spot just by sheer experience and life experience and the way things work out for us. Right? When you started a new job with someone, you start in a completely different place than someone who has been there 10, 20, or even just simply 5 years. And in order to learn that job, it takes time. You have to understand how things work, how interactions happen. If you've ever trained someone who starts a new job, you probably know firsthand how difficult it can be to work with somebody who is just learning the job or the trade or whatever the case might be. If you move to a new community, you probably have realized that you ease in when you enter that new community because different communities do things differently. We moved from Michigan all the way to Rocky Mountain House and we were blown away that instead of curbside trash assistance, we had to take our garbage to the dump. Seems small, and that's probably a shock to half of you guys too. What? They have to do that? Truck is kind of a needed thing in Rocky. But this is just a small thing that allows that you recognize that you have to sort of learn the ropes as you ease into a community. We know this is true of relationships as well. As we enter into new relationships, new friendships, we act differently at first. We're cautious until we gradually ease ourselves in. My point is this. Consider the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel is one that is open to anyone. Anyone who would turn from sin and trust in Jesus. It's open to anyone. And because anyone means, well, anyone, I can imagine, and you probably can as well, that there are difficult people in your life that may come or may be considering faith that may be a bit rough around the edges, who don't fully get what it means to follow Christ and to be a disciple. And so, as they are the types of people who might be interested or explore in faith, you can imagine that these might be the types of people who, well, might test your patience from time to time, who might push you to the edge of your kindness in Christ. But the call of the gospel is clear. And the call that Paul puts on us as well. In verse 13, he says that we are called to bear with one another. You don't have to bear with one another when things are going just peachy, right? When things are going well. We have to bear with one another when we are grinding against one another, when things are difficult. And that's why it's so important for us to rest in, to live into this gospel-centered identity that we have in Christ. We have to allow Christ to work in us and work through us and cultivate these characteristics, these attitudes, if you will, so that when the time comes, we can bear with one another in ways that we maybe could have never imagined. In many ways, this is the picture that the Apostle Paul is pointing at in verse 16, if we continue forward, when he says, "Let the message of Christ dwell literally in you all abundantly." Now, this word richly can be translated, which you see in most of your translations. It can also be translated abundantly. And I really love the imagery of this word, this word abundance. It reminds me of these moments when you go to a store or something and you see pallets full of stuff on a Black Friday that you know people are going to just rip open these pallets and start swiping anything and everything you can see. But at the moment, the store is abundant in items for people to purchase. It's this picture of overflowing, right? This picture that what we have should be welling up in abundance, overflowing to those around us. This picture of the love and grace that Christ has given us overflowing so much in our lives as disciples of Him that we should be just yearning to share it with others. And this is the picture that I mean to sort of think of, to create when I say that we are to join someone on their journey of faith. You see, as Christ works in you, as He cultivates this relationship that you have with Him, He cultivates these characteristics that we are called to have, that we have seen in verses 12 through 14. As He cultivates those characteristics, we are to continue and to work with each other by admonishing or correcting one another and teaching each other in all wisdom, as Paul says. This idea is that we teach or demonstrate these characteristics, which are a picture of Jesus living in us all. And we do this while walking with others, joining them on their journey, teaching them to do the same as they grow in their relationship with Jesus and their love for him as well, as this message of Christ begins to dwell in them abundantly as well. Think of it this way. If I had to guess, I would bet that many of you maybe have not fully understood at times, maybe times better than others, what it means to practically follow Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus. Maybe you have this sort of abstract idea in your mind of what a disciple looks like, what a disciple does. You center it on some sort of idea of what it looks like to be a nice person and to read your Bible regularly. And as you struggled with this concept of what it means to follow Jesus, as you, as somebody who has been around church, who has sat in these pews for a good portion of your life, if you have struggled with that concept, then imagine how difficult it might be for someone who is just coming to the faith, somebody who is just being introduced to what it means to follow Jesus. Imagine how difficult it would be for someone like that to discern what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Here's the reality. Disciples make disciples. That's just the way it is. There is no way, shape, or form to get around it. Disciples make disciples. And so as you are engaging yourself in this pathway of discipleship, my hope, my prayer is that you are making disciples by engaging others in the same way, walking with them as they learn, as they discern how they can engage their faith life in a path toward discipleship as well. Our point has been to make this pathway very practical so we can get our hands around specific and very intentional ideals of what it means to follow Jesus. Because here's the reality. Not only do disciples make disciples, they walk the path themselves. They connect and cultivate belief in Jesus Christ by engaging in regular prayer, praying for disconnected people in their lives and cultivating a life of prayer. Disciples worship regularly and bring others into worship because we know that worship is a meaningful activity that cultivates belief in our lives. And the disciples create a welcoming, inviting environment so that people can meet Jesus. Disciples continue by growing in our relationships, growing as the body of Christ, growing in our primary relationship first and foremost with the Lord by encountering Him daily. And then also engaging each other on a regular basis, knowing that we need each other as fellow disciples of Christ in this world. And disciples grow by practicing hospitality, a key characteristic that first century Christians just took advantage of and took for granted, and it's something we have gone away from in a far, far way in our day. And disciples finally, of course, find meaningful ways to serve their communities by blessing or serving each other as the body of Christ, knowing that the scriptures call us to do that regularly and fully. They call us to Disciples bless their neighbors by living in a way that is different than the world around them. And they do this all while walking with others in an intentional and meaningful way as others take the journey of faith. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're ready to make the next step in your faith journey. Maybe you're ready to be that person who steps up and walks with somebody as they enter into a discipleship path and take them deeper in a meaningful way. If that's you this morning, man, I hope that's the case, and I hope you will engage that urge in a meaningful way. Find someone you can walk with to deepen their faith. Let me know. I'll connect you with somebody that you can walk with in a meaningful way, that you can just be their cheerleader. Maybe meet with them, whatever the case might be. But maybe you're the person who's been sitting in these pews your entire life. And now, just now, is the time when you want to now engage this path of discipleship in a meaningful way. But maybe you're embarrassed because, well, you've been sitting in these pews your entire life and you haven't really stepped up in an intentional way to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to not be embarrassed. Because the reality is that Jesus knows your heart. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. And now is as good of time as any to engage a real process, a real path toward following Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never even considered taking steps toward a path of discipleship, of following Jesus. I want to encourage you that now is the time. Faith is a journey. We absolutely believe that. And you got to start somewhere. So why not start today? Walk the path of discipleship for Jesus. Jesus laid down His life to reconcile us, to restore us to right relationship with the God who created us. It's what we were made for. It's why we are here. He opened the path. Let's walk it with Him. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and guidance. Help us to be a people walking the path, that path of discipleship, knowing that we are not going to do it perfectly, knowing that we are going to fall short at times, but knowing that there is grace as we trust in Your Son. But we need to do something. So, Father, I pray that You would stir in our hearts the need to follow You. Give us wisdom as we discern what this path looks like, of what steps we can engage in a good and meaningful way. Thank You for all You do in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in worship this morning, we respond by singing of a God who is mighty to save. Will you stand as you're able?
Mercy.
Just a couple of things I want to bring to your attention before we come to the Lord in prayer. Of course, let's at this time kind of take the opportunity, maybe even the next week or so, especially to be praying for our neighborhood, for the neighborhood of the church. I haven't heard of anything horrible happening, but of course, there's a lot of traffic with the Grey Cup happening this afternoon, and I'm sure lots of things going on because of it. So let's pray for the McCulley neighborhood and probably the downtown area as well. In addition to that, I just want to bring to your attention that there is a newsletter from Annette Levart in here, and we certainly want to continue to keep her in our prayers. She continues to do the medical mission that she does over in Africa. So let's lift her up in prayer as well. Let's come to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you so much that we can come to you this day. This day that you have made, a day that we are called to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. So may our hearts be filled with that joy. Father, may we be instruments for your kingdom and your glory in this world as we are joyful even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Help us to see the glory as much as possible in this world. Help us to rejoice in all that you have done and all that you are doing for us. Father, we are a people who are deeply dependent on you. Though it sometimes seems like we are self-reliant, the reality is that we are not. We are fully dependent on you as the God who provides, who gives all, Lord. And so, Lord, may we always turn with thanksgiving and with joyful hearts, knowing that we are blessed. We are blessed not only with everything that we have, Lord, but we are blessed with the opportunity to be in right relationship through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we know that in spite of that blessing of reconciliation, we have fallen short, and we constantly fall in short. So, Lord, hear our prayers, hear our hearts as we lay them before you. Father, as your people, though, we know that you hear our prayer and that you call us to come boldly. And so, Lord, we do just that this morning, lifting up your people who are dealing with difficult circumstances, hardship, and who need healing. We think especially of George, who is in the rehabilitation hospital, Lord. He's able to join us this morning, and Lord, we're just so grateful, though, for that. We pray that things would continue to go well and that he would be able to see his discharge this week. And we just thank you so much that he's able to get away for a bit and join us. We pray that you'd continue to give the doctors wisdom and guidance as they work in his healing, as they do your will, Lord. Father, we lift up the neighborhood that you have planted us in, Lord, the McCulley neighborhood in our downtown area, Lord, area that will be experiencing probably more than usual traffic this weekend. Just pray that people would be smart, that they would enjoy themselves, of course, but that they would do that with all wisdom and guidance, Lord. And if there is some way for them to see your glory in the midst of it, Lord, we pray that they would do just that. May any cleanup and any difficulties be few, and may you, in the end, be glorified, even in something like a Grey Cup. Father, we thank you so much for the missionary work of Annette, and we just pray that you would continue to be with her, that you would guide her, She would be a big part of her medical missionary, her mission out over in Africa, Lord. Give her guidance, Lord, and help us to be a church that continuously prays for her. Bring her to our mind and our hearts often. Father, we thank you so much for all that we are able to do here at First. We think, especially this morning, about the benevolence that we offer through the Benevolence Fund, Lord. As we take an offering for it, Lord, we pray for your guidance and your hand as we look for means to serve your people, your community, and our neighbors, Lord. Thank you for the grace that you give us in Christ, Lord. We lift all these things up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As mentioned, offering this morning will be for the Benevolence Fund, a fund that we use to help people who come to the church with specific needs and such.